Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. The 4th of July is just 2 days away, but many people are already getting ready for barbecues and gatherings of family and friends. But this will be a 4th of July like no other, with COVID-19 very much a part of our lives right now. Tonight, we're going to talk about what you should and should not do if you're going to have a summer event at home so that everybody can be as safe as possible. My guests are event planner Tanisha Watson and WHUR's own Darlene Jackson. She's our program director, as well as a home style expert in her own right. Lines are open. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Tanisha, Darlene, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Hey, Harold.
Hey.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for joining the program, Darlene. Good to hear your voice. Haven't seen you in a while.
I've been hearing yours, Harold. But, Harold, I am the promotions director.
What did I say?
You said programming. You'll have
that. Oh, I'm sorry. Forgive me. You know, I was trying to give you a promotion. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, how about that? Yeah, I'll get a memo about that, I'm sure, or an email.
I'll stay over here on promotions. I'm good.
Yeah, you're good. Well, I hope that everybody is staying safe. So let me ask you this first, Tanisha, because I'm sure that, you know, in your day-to-day travels, you've seen, you know, people kind of gathering at home, parties with, you know, without social distancing. When you see that, what goes through your mind?
Well, firstly, the concern is, are people worried about being safe? Mm-hmm. And do they think they can be impacted by COVID-19? And some of us tend to think we're invincible. Some of our social events, particularly with our family, we don't adhere to some of those standards. We're starting to be a little more relaxed as time goes on. And it does concern me a little bit. However, I have been to some social events and I was not uncomfortable. And they were just family events and they were small. So I don't think it's too bad, but I still think we need to practice safety during those times of our gathering.
Mm-hmm. You said they were small. Define small.
Under 50 people.
Under
50? The ones that I was at was one. Yes.
Under 50? That seems like a lot. I mean, depending on where, how far under 50 you're talking about, you know, either you're 49 or 2 or 3. Under 50, that's a lot, it seems to me.
Well, as an event planner, I'm typically in spaces where there are a little bit more people. We're putting on some events, but we've been in parks. We've exercised our social distancing practices. We've had our lawn chairs out and people were spaced far apart. We were all wearing our masks. Typically outside, if I'm more than 6 feet away from someone, I won't wear my mask in that instance if I'm outside. But it was safe. It was several weeks ago. No symptoms, no, you know, anything from my husband and I. We were good to go. And I just think, but as an event planner, under 50 to me is small.
And you know, keeping in mind that we are in rather a unique time, so I'm sure that your events, as it relates to a year ago this month, would be significantly different compared mm-hmm. to where we are right now.
Absolutely. But two things, the COVID-19 pandemic, as well as our social issues that we're going through right now. And people are looking at, I find that the events that are going on and are happening are related around our culture. Mm-hmm. And I've attended those events. And I actually did attend a funeral this past weekend in Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And they did practice the social distancing right in the funeral hall. And we had to sit every other row and only two to a row, and you had to wear your mask.
Yeah, we are definitely in different times. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about this weekend, 4th of July weekend, and beyond. If you're going to have any kind of, you know, gathering at your home, how do you keep it safe but also fun and comfortable for people who are, you know, dipping their toe in the water of social connecting as we enter these phased reopenings? Darlene, when you are in a position to plan, you know, things on your own, what goes through your mind?
I mean, I'll probably be like over planning, but it's definitely a time to think about real common sense, pre-planning, and some good old back-in-the-day backyard family fun. So, of course, I would, you know, do as much as you can to plan outside activities. If you have a home that doesn't have a backyard or a deck or what have you, then you should not be hosting a 4th of July event at your home. So hopefully if your home is big enough where you can really practice social distancing, folks can still, of course, wear their masks, and just really pre-plan in terms of what you're doing, like preparation in terms of the food, like pre-do your hamburgers, pre-do your chicken. And then once it gets done, I would definitely go with the whole grab-and-go method, just like the stores and the restaurants are doing. Hmm. You know, grab-and-go. So the hamburgers and hot dogs, when they get done, you can wrap them in some foil, and, you know, they can grab-and-go with that. I would just eliminate as much of that people sharing utensils and people sharing. I mean, have somebody serve the food. Have the food, you know, served at a certain time where everybody gets served at the same time. You want to eliminate as much as that hand sharing contact and close space contact as much as you can. If someone's bringing a dish, bring a dish ready to put on the table or wherever you're serving to go, and not, you know, be in your kitchen.
Yeah. Hey, how about that? How about that? Let's talk about that. Oh, only one chef in the kitchen.
You would say that, Harold, because you are the chef.
I would, absolutely.
And you would be in the kitchen. But definitely, and then of course think about, like, you know, in terms of clean hand practices and using the, you know, your bathroom. So you make sure you have plenty of hand, you know, paper towels. Don't have like some one hand towel that everyone's gonna be sharing, and, you know, sharing that hand towel is not gonna be good. Liquid soap, hand sanitizer, and, you know, and all the tables and just different places around, that you're, you know, really trying to practice as much of those, you know, guidelines as you can.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tim, calling from Maryland. Tim, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I just have a couple concerns. It's funny how, you know, we as citizens, we kind of we begged and clamored, you know, for everything to be reopened. Mm-hmm. And now that everything is up and you know, opening on a modified level, it's almost like we took the shutdown for granted. You know, we're going back to bad habits, not washing hands, not practicing social distancing, not listening to health recommendations from science and those in a political realm. And I feel like it's gonna, and you can see it now already, but it's gonna come back to bite us. So I almost feel like we didn't learn our lesson from the first shutdown. And I'm not sure if that's a leadership kind of thing, you know, getting the point across to everyone. I'm not sure about that. The second part is on the business side, the commercial side, the business owners aspect, they begged and asked, you know, the government to reopen. But initially when we first reopened, you know, there was hand sanitizer everywhere in the stores. There were hand towels. They were being super clean. They were doing everything to, you know, kind of fight against spreading the virus. And now even the businesses themselves have kind of slacked as far as hand sanitizers, you know, keeping the businesses and things like that clean. And I'll just give you a, for instance, they opened the gyms, and now in the gyms, you know, they give you the hand sanitizers, they give you the towels, they give you the spray bottles and all those things. They tell you that you need to wear face coverings and masks and all that in the gym. They tell you that, but once you're actually in the gym, they don't actually enforce it. So it really, it does no good because you're in the gym, but it's just like it was before they shut down. So yeah. We need to enforce the policies, enforce procedures, things like that, and don't take it for granted just because they're open that things are going to get better. That's kind of all I wanted to say.
Tim, thank you so much. Point, Tanisha, when you're talking about events at your home, I mean, I know you're an event planner, but and I'm not necessarily talking about formal events because. You know, the reality is, as Tim was suggesting, even as we are, doing our phased, reopening, we have a lot of people, at least, in this area, the DMV, that is suggesting that people not, go out and they just kind of stay close to home. And so let's say you do have a backyard. What do you think about, how do you plan a socially distant family gathering?
Well, firstly, you limit your guest list. I mean, close friends with your immediate family. And I wouldn't go beyond that. I just wouldn't. I believe, first of all, a lot of this hand-washing and over-the-top germaphobe, I was already that person. So even in my home, I think that people need to think of things like hand, like she said, with the hand soap, putting your hand. I have one. That's hands-free, and I install that specifically just in case I have people that come over, and you really need to limit. You need to be just like our caller that called in and discussed about how the commercial places are and how they're treating everything with the COVID. You need to be wiping down or spraying down chairs with Lysol once someone gets up and vacates that chair and maybe moves to another section to talk to someone else. I think that you need to have your hand sanitizer in multiple locations in your backyard. And I think that you really need to washing the doorknob down every time somebody's going in and out. Maybe, have a timer on your phone for making sure that you're implementing some of these practices yourself. Because you're not going to think about it because you're in, you're sort of being social at home as well. But I think that these are the things that we should be implementing when guests are in our home. We should treat them like guests, like we want to be treated at the gym and at the grocery store. We want to see the multiple hand sanitizers. We want to see the cashiers wiping down their, the belt as your groceries come down and all of those things. And I think that we should really be making sure that we're implementing those things at home and not just be so comfortable because we're at home. But really to limit your guest list. And I know that some of us have so many friends that we'd like to invite over and extended family. And then also one of the things that they could do to keep it limited is maybe different pockets of friends and family that are having gatherings with, the least amount than what they would normally do. Maybe they do a Zoom and sort of connect it at some point and, say, hey, we all would have been there, but, since point in time where we all Zoom each other and make the party one big party and sort of keep that thing going and make it fun in that way.
Mm-hmm. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. This is a 4th of July weekend, holiday weekend, and really the summer is underway. And the reality is that despite some of the warnings that we see from government leaders, people are going to gather. And so we're going to try to give you some helpful information to make sure that even if you're going to have a barbecue or cookout this weekend, that you do it in a way that is as safe as possible. So if you have a comment or a question about that, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Stay with us. Hold on. I'm going to take a break, and then we're going to be back. The original Quiet Storm on WHUR is next, but we want to remind you that you can hear this and every discussion via podcast on WHUR.com. We'll be posting it before 9 p.m. every night, so please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141 in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we're talking about what you should and should not do if you're going to have a summer event at home. so that everyone can be as safe as possible. Of course, all of this coming just a few days before the 4th of July and the summer weather that a lot of folks are going to be itching to socialize, to get together. So if you're going to do it, what is the safest way to do it? My guests are event planner Tanisha Watson and WHUR's own promotions director and homestyle expert in her own right. Did I get it right that time? Darlene Jackson.
Yes.
There
yes.
we go. Yes, you've been demoted again. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Darlene, I think you were going to say something before the break.
Yeah, I wanted to add that because you're trying to limit your guest list, that this is definitely not the time to bring a guest with you, be it, you know, your best friend or, you know, Calvin that you met at the grocery store and you want everybody to meet. It's not that time to bring some stranger, you know, into the mix. So, no, don't bring a guest, and make it clear to your guest that you're inviting to not bring a guest.
Hmm.
So if you're a single person, that's it. Unless you have a husband or you already have a boyfriend that everybody knows, and you say, I want you and so-and-so to come, then that's how you do it. But other than that, no. And if your mother, who is, you know, maybe older and she has not been out, it probably would not be a good idea to say, hey, you know, mom, come out to the picnic if she's been, you know, quarantining for weeks and months, to then, you know, come out to, you know, a place with a lot of people.
I think that is such
a
great
idea. I mean, I like to keep it small, really. I just really like to keep it like small. I won't be doing anything.
Yeah.
I won't be doing anything.
Go ahead, Tanisha. You were about to say. Tanisha, you were about to make a comment.
I think Tanisha was saying that she's not doing anything either. So.
Yeah. And I think, you know, that's really kind of one of the, you know, the realities of it. Yeah, if everybody was supposed to be doing what they were supposed to do, yeah, we would probably still be, you know, in a mode where, no one is having social gatherings. But I think, you know, the reality is, and you don't have to look very far to see that these things are actually happening. And so I think, you know, to give somebody an opportunity to at least, you know, think twice, if they absolutely positively feel that they got to have a party, that that you do things in a way that is that are as safe, you know, as possible. Let me go back to the phone lines. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Eric, calling from Phoenix. Eric, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Good afternoon. I've been listening to the conversation, and I think we are in an unprecedented time right now, and I think we have to think beyond ourselves and not live in a selfish mode right now. I think we can go one time without having social gatherings. We see what happened. We kind of started going out there a little bit, opening up, and things just went back crazy. And I think that Zoom idea is great. I think we can do that for, you know, just a short period of time to get this thing under control and be able to see our families and friends and you know, people that we care about more like we used to. But if we don't buckle down and just, you know, just be careful this one time and just think about others, because you can invite a small crowd to your home and, you know, think that everything is safe, but you don't know where that one or two people in your crowd has been. So in reality, you're spreading your circle out even wider depending on where they've been. So I just think we have to get beyond being, you know, sort of selfish at this point and just say, can we just cease for a period of time and then we'll be able to get back to a normal state of being.
Eric, if you don't mind, I mean, you're calling from Phoenix, Arizona, right?
Yes.
And certainly Arizona is one of the hot spots that we have seen have all kinds of COVID-19 difficulty this
week.
Yes, it is. And, you know, that's because they've had, you know, the bars open, and we've seen incredible incredible lack of social distancing and the like. But my question for you is, have you seen, you know, some of the, you know, perhaps smaller gatherings in your neighborhood that at least appear to take into consideration the care and some of the guidelines that have been suggested that we follow?
No. From what I've seen, I can say yes, there's been some. I mean, I don't think we can say everyone has been careless. But I think, it's like I said, it comes back to, you don't know where everyone in your circle has been. Mm-hmm. Even if they come to your gathering and kind of do what you ask them to, the face masks and the different things, you still have that percentage of being loose with, you know, wherever they've been coming to your circle. Mm-hmm. I think our opening here was too quick. I know economics come into play, you know, politics come into play, but I think, again, it goes back to we have to get away from that selfish mode.
Eric, thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call. Tanisha, we lost you briefly. I'm glad that you're back. You wanted to make a comment.
Yeah, I agree. What I've noticed in my neighborhood, particularly being a multicultural neighborhood, I have seen, particularly during graduations, and the families were all gathering together, and they're doing their normal, the way we were doing it pre-COVID, and I didn't see where they were taking any precautions to the way, in a way of like wearing a mask or less people. I mean, the street was full of cars. You see everyone getting out of their cars, walking to the particular house that they're going to, and there was no social distancing, no practices of masks and gloves or anything. And I just feel like it just depends on who, because I think some people may be more afraid, and they respond based on that. Because the previous caller, I just kind of heard my granny in the background saying, "Get somewhere and sit down." And I think
sit.
Right, sit down.
Set down. Yes.
Right, and some of us have the "let's get somewhere and sit down" attitude, because that's how we were brought up, and that's how we think about it. But you know, and some of us, I know some of the younger people, the millennials, and, you know, they're ready to get together and they're not thinking anything of it. But I have not seen them practicing in a way where we would think it should be, and with the pandemic and what COVID-19 can do.
Yeah, it certainly makes sense. Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Calvin, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Calvin. What's on your mind?
Sure, no problem. I just wanted to say something to everybody to really emphasize the fact of what we're in and what you're watching on television. We have all the signs out there. We have all the information out there that we need. Now, what is going to happen is, once we continue to spike, once these hospitals run out of hospital beds, all these people out here who are not wearing masks, you're going to be forced to have to go home and recover or die at home. You are burning out the medical staff. You are burning out all of the other frontline workers on this. And for these young people out here that don't care, they're going to pay the price one way or another, whether they watch a family member die or whether they suffer for themselves. So I feel sorry for the only people I really feel sorry for is the medical staff.
Interesting. Thank you so much, Calvin. I appreciate it. That's really, and I think that's a really interesting, perspective. And again, Calvin is talking about, you know, people being, or trying to be selfless. And I think, you know, one of the things that we have seen, is that unfortunately not everybody is as forward thinking. You've got some people who have been, you know, kind of clammed up or, you know, shut up in the house, and now that the weather is getting, you know, warmer, that they are starting to have some of these, you know, some of these issues. From your perspective, I mean, you know, Darlene, I don't know what kind of area you have, you know, at home, but if you were, Go ahead.
Yes, so I'm not going to be hosting anything, but I live in a space where I don't have a backyard. However, I can perhaps do something different with my daughter or my sister, like maybe go buy an ice cream machine and make some homemade ice cream where you sort of, you know, you put the ingredients in and you have to sort of watch it, you know, happen, or it makes the ice cream and then you see when it's ready, you get to have an ice cream treat. Maybe if there's, we might decide to go see some fireworks, and if I do, I will drive wherever I can see them in my car. I can view maybe some fireworks from my car, but I won't be like getting on a metro anywhere, you know, to go watch some, you know, some fireworks. Mm-hmm. So I might just think about just maybe doing something just a little different, you know, as opposed to a lot of people, but still, you know, celebrate the time. Maybe buy some pretty flowers, or you know, make sure that my menu, you know, you can still get, you know, the corn on the cob or a hamburger hot dog at home. So, you know, you can still celebrate what's a norm in terms of the menu and such for the 4th of July. But if I had a backyard, I would do the old-fashioned thing with maybe, you know, get a water sprinkler that's for the lawn and, you know, run through the water sprinkler. Some of the balloons, you make the water balloons for, you know, the balloon toss, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, the key word right now, certainly for those people who do decide to do this, is, you know, try to be as socially distant as possible for those people who do have yards, because as we've said, there are some people, yeah, we can sit here and tell them don't do it all day long, mm-hmm. but then you turn on the television and you realize that they aren't following, you know, what the CDC guidelines or what the government guidelines are saying. But I think that one of the things that we have seen on the other hand, Tanisha, is that we do have some people who are socially distancing. And for those folks who do have, you know, yards, I know that even in, you know, my neighborhood here in Baltimore, we have seen some, for lack of a better term, you know, front yard parties.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when you really think about it, even playing like games that we usually might play when you're in a fun setting, it might be a little too much sharing and you might be too close, like playing card games, spades that people like to play, dominoes, you're sharing, it's too much.
Can't do it. Spades.
Too much. You can't even do,
can't do
like
it.
That.
No. It is definitely a new world that we are living in, no doubt. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, what you were talking about, Darlene, when you were talking about, you know, kind of, you know, dealing with, you know, food issues, I would imagine that there are just some foods that you probably just cannot do, even in that kind of grab and go situation. And you may only have, you know, one person maybe serving, you know, that handful of people.
And then you can buy like the individual bags of chips, and you know, you can buy like individual, or you can put in little baggies the veggies, the carrots or the celery and the little tomatoes, whatever. I would just think is a prep as many individual sort of unshared finger food type things that people can make their own individual and eat and consume.
And I think the reality is that this isn't unlike, you know, 4th of July weekends of the past. This may not be about, you know, the big foodie, you know, ribs and burgers. This really is about having an opportunity to, in the safest way possible, connect with people that you may not have seen, even if they are standing 6 or 8 or 10 feet away. Something to think about. I'm going to take a break real quick when we come back. A little bit more about, and I'm going to hit, you know, Tanisha, you know, with this too, because as an event planner, you know, how has this affected your business and what kinds of things have you done to kind of adjust, you know, your business model when people are trying to do this, because events just aren't about the 4th of July. We've got weddings and all other kinds of stuff happening too. My goodness. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to the Daily Drum Inside segment. We have some breaking news that I need to share with you before we continue with our conversation about safe or safer family gatherings. We are getting a report from the Washington Post and several other news outlets that the stadium sponsor for FedEx Field, the Memphis-based company, is calling on Daniel Snyder to change the name of Washington's pro football team. This is just coming out right now. FedEx has signed a 27-year naming rights deal. It was $205 million back in 1999. The CEO of FedEx, Frederick Smith, is a minority owner of the team, and he is calling on Daniel Snyder to change the name from what we know as the Washington Redskins to something that is less offensive, not racist. This is a major, major development. Wow. All of this happening just minutes ago, that report coming not only out of the Washington Post, but also out of USA Today, of course. So we will continue to keep you apprised of this development. The owner, Daniel Snyder, for years has said that he will not change the name of the football team. Just an interesting bit of breaking news coming out today from the owner, the CEO of FedEx, Frederick Smith. Back to our topic as it relates to safe family gatherings, you know, certainly during the summer. I want to go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Kenya, calling from California. Kenya, thanks for hanging on. What's on your mind?
Hi, yes. I just wanted to call and say how insightful this conversation is about, you know, really thinking about having gatherings and family over during the 4th of July. We're going to have a neighborhood barbecue where we're pulling the grills in the front, and we just started overthinking we were going to pull our basketball court and everything, and just hearing this or the basketball hoop, but just hearing this phone call or the conversation on the radio, I'm like, we can't do that, you know, because we're not living in normal times. So for the guests that are on the show, just some of their insight that they're providing, it's very helpful, and it's really, you know, causing us to rethink how we would approach doing the neighborhood barbecue.
So what are your plans for the 4th, Kenya, and beyond? You know, particularly, you know, we had a gentleman call from Arizona, a hotspot state. Mm-hmm. You're calling from California, another recent hotspot state where the governor is, you know, revisiting some major shutdown. So what are your plans? How are you going to connect in social gatherings, if at all?
You know, we will probably, we are going to stay at home for the 4th. And if we did decide to do the social event where we pull our grills in the front of the yard, we would keep it within our immediate family. And of course, wear masks if we are socializing with our neighbors, but making sure we are really 6 feet in distance and not sharing food, because it's, you know, really important. And it would be, you know, irresponsible on our part to think that this is a normal gathering.
Yeah. And you said your family. So I'm assuming you have, you know, a husband or a mate or something like that.
Yes, okay. I have. Yes, my husband and my 3 daughters that live here currently. Yes.
Well, tell your husband he can finally say, no, you cannot share my plate.
Okay. I will definitely do that.
Tell him, no, you have your own plate, honey. Keep your fingers out of my food. Yeah.
Exactly. Pick your own.
Yeah, no, just a little levity there. But yes, you know, the reality is it's always, you know, always important to think, you know, about the health and welfare of your immediate family. And
but some games that are sort of manageable and fun would be something like a badminton, because it's the net and it's a racket, which, and, you know, a birdie. So it's social distancing. And you can definitely just, you know, hand sanitize, you know, a racket and a birdie. Things like maybe kickball might be a little better than basketball, and hula hoops, something like that. So those,
as long as everybody has their own hula hoop,
right?
Yes,
everyone can keep I mean, hula hoops aren't that much. They can keep their own hula hoop. I mean, that's just something that the kids can, you know, go back home with. But just things like that can be fun, and you know, they definitely practice social distancing. So
Without a doubt. I want to thank Kenya again for giving us a call from California. Talk to me a little bit, Tanisha, about how you've had to make some adjustments, you know, as an event planner, because as I said before the break, this goes really beyond the 4th of July. You know, there are, and this is heartbreaking, but there are weddings that, you know, ceremonies have to be really, really pared down. You know, those destination weddings may not even make it to the backyard wedding, you know, with, you know, the 50 guests, for example. Talk to me about how your business has had to work around these major changes.
Oh, yeah. That's a whole other conversation. But I will say it has been tough. Very, very tough. I had a bride and groom vow renewal scheduled for Sandals Ulturrios June 19th. And it was their 20-year anniversary, and they were renewing their vows. And had to cancel. And we held out hope, and we wanted to push it back. And he actually is a D.C. cop, and he, in his mind, it was really elevated about where this thing was. And the wife, she understood it, and she really got it, but she was the one where her heart just really broke, because the date was very important. I had another wedding that has been pushed back to September, and it's actually scheduled to be a backyard wedding. And hopefully that still goes forth, but we're playing it by ear as we move forward. And it's been very impactful, considering that I actually do both destination and weddings here locally. And it's a lot. And one of the worst thing about it I can look at the business piece of it, but when I look at the heart of the bride, that is where, your heart tears. And I think we had a lot of fun with some of the birthday events and graduations with the drive-bys and the Zoom calls. But I just feel that has fizzled out, because as people, humans, that connection and that touch, we thrive on that. And we want those things. And that's where it's been tough. But as far as the business, I've lost a lot. I don't see a recovery anytime soon. However, I am a woman of faith, so I say that in the natural when I look at the facts. Mm-hmm. However, I'm believing that there's some other things around in the bush and some other things around the corner for me as I continue to navigate these waters. But we, a group of creatives, were getting together to do a styled shoot in a space, and we have really honed in on marketing the micro weddings.
Micro weddings.
Yes. And you know, you got to find a name for it. We say no more than 50 people, you know, in your backyard, or this, you know, the governor says, you know, half of your capacity. In our world, we say micro weddings. And that's what we're promoting. And we're getting together, and we're going to style a space in Fredericksburg, and we're going to show these brides how they can do it small but still do it up and maybe do more. And we're excited about that. So as creatives, this has caused us to be more creative.
I was just going to say, you know, for the bridezillas out there doing it small, I don't know how that's going to work, but, you know, let's hope that, you know, they're focusing on the love after the event, you know, micro wedding, big love. Let's work on that, huh?
Absolutely. And I did want to add one tip to
real quick
what Darlene said, just real quick. One of the things to do in the backyard, and people actually for inspiration can go to my social media at Plan to a T, set up an outdoor screen and Zoom live stream the fireworks from the mall.
Yeah.
Wow. How about that?
Great idea.
And there's a lot of virtual, you know, concerts from DC Jazz to the Kennedy Center. You can see all that all day, really. That's
absolutely
great. Yeah.
That's a really, really great idea. And hey, why not stream those fireworks instead of, you know, having those dangerous things in your own backyard? We've had some issues with that, you know, in the DC Metro, folks getting hurt. So hey, better to see them on the screen than to do them yourself. I want to thank, you know, both of you for, you know, really being, you know, honest, transparent, and talking about, you know, the realities of these social gatherings and hoping to keep everybody safe. Tanisha Watkins and Darlene Jackson, thanks so much for talking to us. And Darlene, hope to see you soon.
You too. Everybody stay safe.
All right. That is the Daily Drum for this Thursday, July 2nd. I'm Harold Fisher. Now stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.